listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, and I am Michael Sterling.
And I am sanitized for your protection.
Thank God somebody.
Yes, I am. Yeah. I am Paul Strolley. How are you, Michael?
I'm good. Thanks for asking, Paul. It's been kind of a crazy week, but,
it has.
Every week is crazy.
It has. It's
heat
nice.
Heat has simmered down a little bit outside.
It is. Yeah. Well, no, it was just oppressive there for a while. Just in time for my air conditioning to crap out.
I understand.
Yes. Yeah. We'd like to thank our presenting sponsor, Breakdown Services. Breakdown Services is the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit www.breakdownexpress.com.
And our thanks also goes out to performingartslive.com for their ongoing support of our live arts calendar. Performingartslive.com is the most comprehensive such listing service in Southern California, enabling you to search events by date, category, and region. And, Paul.
Yes.
Let's say hello to our guest, huh?
Yes, we will. We will. First, he is an accomplished stage and television actor, currently directing playwright Stephen Burkoff's Kvetch, presented by LA's Seaglass Theater Company and opening this week at the White Fire Theater in beautiful downtown Sherman Oaks. Please welcome Ian Vogt.
Thank you. Thank you.
Heavy metal, my friend. Indeed. And he, too, is a familiar face on television and in Southern California theater with particular emphasis on San Diego, California. He's currently co-starring with the lovely Paul Strolley and being directed by the even lovelier Ian Vogt in Stephen Burkoff's Kvetch. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Dale Morris.
All right. Thank you. Thank you both for having us.
Proper welcome.
Proper introductions, exactly.
I'm very impressed.
Yes.
Nobody will believe you, but...
Well, you got the radio voice there, Dale.
You do?
You got like Michael, you got the cashmere vocal cords. You're just like, yes, I'm very impressed.
Yes, I wish I could carry that forward onto the stage.
Yeah. Whereas, Ian, you sound like Minnie Pearl.
Yeah, I'm like, what am I?
Minnie Pearl?
Pearl. I'm sorry. Boy, there's an obscure reference, huh?
Yeah, she was, a hit.
She was. She was.
Oh, man. You know, before we talk to these lovely guys here, I should ask you about your week. How was your week?
My week was good. Yeah. And I got to get back at one of those people that irritate you so much, the cell phone talkers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm at a Starbucks. Guy is handling it like it's his own office. He's just like, you know, screaming into his cell phone. He's 2 feet away from me, just screaming. This went on for about 15 minutes. But I had my laptop there,
yeah.
And he was actually, because he was basically conducting business there, he was giving people his phone number. He's like, well, call me back at my cell. It's 323, da-da-da-da-da. So that's when I started calling him. And I started calling him from Google Voice, and I kept calling him and calling him and calling him. And then he was, like, trying to answer the call. Hang on, I'm getting a call. Who is this? Who is this? And it's feeding back to him because I have my headset on. He's right next to me, and it's coming in through the microphone on my head.
Yeah.
It was, like, the biggest cluster you-know-what for his, like, phone calls.
Really?
And it was just, but he never broke down, though. He never just kept going and going and going. It got him
was
irritated.
Was he a young man or an older man?
I mean, no, just, you know, very young, like, you know, my age. You know?
Is it okay to advocate violence on the show?
I just want to know.
There's lots of eye rolling.
I just said young, my age, and Michael rolled his eyes like audibly.
Oh, I think we all did.
Did you?
Yeah.
I just only happened to be looking at him. Okay, but it was funny. It was a chance to get back at him, and then he got so irritated that he called back the number that was showing up on his cell phone, which was me, and I just answered it, and then again, all he could hear was himself because it was actually going through. It was just this wonderful little FU to the inconsiderate Starbucks person.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Do you still call him every day now? Call him every day?
I'm sorry. It must have been all that gazpacho. I do. I call him every day. We're actually dating. Yeah.
I didn't really want to see what can happen from a simple little call.
Exactly.
By Google Voice.
Yes.
What is Google Voice, by the way?
Google Voice is just, it's basically phone architecture on your computer where you can have a phone number and the messages come in and they go to your whatever email you assign, and they're all transcribed and everything. It's a great thing to do, and it's free. It's free for domestic calls. They make their money on cheap long distance.
Wow.
I should get something from them now for that commercial I just gave them.
Yeah.
So
I think Skype is better.
Well, Skype voice?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah?
And in short, I was just having a conversation about this the other day. You don't have to have, you can just do it audibly, right? You don't need to do it screen.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be visual. Yeah.
But it is fun. It's fun to have a conference, you know, to talk to people face to face. It's fun.
Yeah.
Just make sure you remember that you're on the visual, because something happened to me with Monica, which was very embarrassing.
Well, you should never have dropped your pants.
No. I was talking to Monica on the phone, on Skype, for like the first time, and I forgot that I was on Skype, and she was talking, and God love her, but I wasn't especially interested in what she was saying, and I yawned huge. I yawned huge.
Yawned.
And she was just like, you know, if I'm boring you, it's just, oh, my God, you could see me. I forgot. Yes, it was very embarrassing.
No, but it's lots of fun, usually.
It is.
But you have to have the camera. You have to hook that up to your...
And it's, you know, you got to go through all these hoops to get it. But,
But once you get it, it's good. Well, you know, I know it's an exciting week in theater, Paul, this week. And there's a lot of openings in town. And we here at State of the Arts are doing our part to add to that excitement.
Yes,
right?
We are.
And, Paul, why don't you tell our listeners about one of the special theater offices that we
have today. Very excited about this. It's All Anxiety Monday here at State of the Arts at approximately 20 minutes past the hour after we talked to Ian for a while, or maybe 15, depending on how interesting Ian is. We're looking for people to call in at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. This is about 15, 20 minutes past the hour. And kvetch. And what I mean by that is share with us an epic and hopefully funny complaint, annoyance, gripe, you name it. We'll listen, we'll ponder, collectively we'll all decide, and should you be deemed kvetch-worthy, you'll win 2 free tickets to the opening night and post-show party of, you guessed it, Kvetch, Stephen Berkoff's uproarious adult comedy, presented by Seaglass Theater, opening this Saturday night at the White Fire in Sherman Oaks. So once again, 15, 20 minutes after the hour, 323-203-0815. And just to kick it off, to give people an idea of what we're talking about, I'm going to share one of the kvetches we got via our Facebook page for Seaglass. Just when you think your terrible day brimming with bad news can't get any worse, you get a $300 ticket for simply holding your cell phone in your hand while actually talking into a hands-free headset. So right there we have an example of a gripe and annoyance.
That's a terrible one.
Yes,
terrible.
And I know how that affects you, Michael.
No. I mean, I feel sorry for that person. I mean, it's just holding the phone and you get a ticket. Like
that. Exactly.
That's a whopper, you know?
Yes, that's a big one. That's almost as bad as the carpool lane ticket. It's three and change, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm never in it because I'm usually...
Oh, you don't use that the
like
mail.
$360. I think
expensive.
I saw the sign.
Is it 360?
Yeah.
No, that's a kvetch right there.
$360.
A person sitting next to me in a restaurant was telling his friend that when he arrived at the restaurant that he had just gotten this Whopper ticket for $1,100.
Wow.
On the cell phone, his feet were while he was driving, his feet were on the actual
dashboard.
Window open, no shirt on, really attracting attention, right? Talking on the cell phone, and was pulled over and did not have his driver's license, and his registration was also...
Wait a minute, did you say he had his feet on the dashboard?
Yeah.
Do you get a ticket for that?
How do you drive with your feet on the dashboard?
I don't know. I don't know, but he did, and he tried to fight the ticket. And he actually ended up winning some part of it back because he knew somebody in the police department. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, he sounds more like a contortionist.
Well,
I mean,
he was a young kid. Yeah, he was a young kid, you know. I mean, they can do anything, right?
Yeah, because I used to have... I've had my feet on dashboards before, but I haven't been driving at the time.
Yeah. Okay, I want to go there
later. That was a
little
too much information.
Oh, come on.
Really?
Come on. Okay, let's get to our first guest, shall we?
Oh, God, please.
There's an image for you all to take home. Let's get to our... He's not only the director of Kvetch, a longtime company member of Seaglass Theater. His talent as an actor has been rewarded with choice roles in such television hits as The Mentalist, Criminal Minds, Without a Trace, and others. Once again, please welcome Ian Vogt. Ian, how are you, buddy?
Good. I'm great.
Nice
Thank
of you.
You
to come back and see us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah?
As always, yeah.
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 So load in to the theater. The
That's correct.
This is Hell Week.
This is Hell Week. This is the long week for me, and then, then it gets easier for me after this week.
Yeah, it gets easier for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
not for us.
What a
not
great
for
show this sounds like. A fantastic.
Yeah, for the listeners early on, Ian, can you give us sort of a thumbnail sketch of what the synopsis and what it's sort of like? And,
yeah.
Or does this play defy that?
It kind of does. You can't really describe it by plot. It's more like the anti-Eckhart Tolle play, meaning it's, you know, his book, The Power of Now. This is like not The Power of Now. It's the anti-Power of Now, because you constantly see people's inner thoughts during normal conversation. And that's the whole play is pretty much structured around that. So there's as many inner monologues as there are. Everyone else freezes when someone's having their sort of inner thoughts going on.
They're kvetches.
They're kvetches.
Yeah,
that's
which
correct.
Is the, that's the term that he sort of labeled them with.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the ones you just told don't even come close.
Oh, no, no.
To the play.
Yeah.
I mean, they were...
Yeah. That's, no, that's a little safe. Well, hopefully we'll get some more a little later that a little, you know, more exotic. But it's fun for the whole family then.
Very much so. Yeah, it's your deepest anxieties and fears and desires just all out there for everyone to see.
No.
Well, also this show has not been done in Los Angeles in what 25 years? Is that correct?
I'm not sure when the last time it was done. It was originally done here 25 years ago
at the Odyssey,
and it ran for a very long time. And then you know they did it on Broadway and they did it in London for a while. But I don't think it's done very often. It's a very difficult play, just structurally, as the actors will contest to that. And I think that provides a challenge that most people don't understand how to even approach it. But
yeah, it's a very unusual piece to do. It's physically and mentally. I mean, I'm sure Dale, you can chime in on this any time. But it's an exhausting piece to do, not just because of how many things you have to think about as a performer while you're doing it.
Just doing the asides. Most of the time you do one asides in what, an act. Maybe you do one aside all night. In this play you're doing an aside almost every other sentence. It's hard work.
Yeah.
When you're going from your acting partner to the audience.
Right.
You know, bang, bang, back and forth. It's hell in a way because you have to learn a whole new art.
But it must also be the beauty of the play. I mean, you know, refining that and getting it down to the science that I'm sure you all
that precision. Have. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I say hell in an artistically wonderful way.
In a pleasant way that hell can be. Yes.
It's a much nicer way.
Yeah. It's a learning process. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, and also the convention, too, is that while the people are, while you're having, say, your kvetch or I'm having my kvetch in the course of the play, everyone else freezes. So then it's like you not only have to be totally aware of your own, you know, lines and moments and all that, but you have to be aware of everyone else's because of the... It's very... I would say it's film-like. It's very, like, stop-action film-like.
It is stop-action.
Yeah.
That's very accurate because, yeah, and everyone has to stop action at the same exact moments. So that when you have more than, you know, there's a opening scene as a dining room, there's four people on stage. And so when one person has their aside, everyone else is freezing. And sometimes those asides are as long as two words, and then everyone's back in and back
or
out.
Two pages.
Or two pages, that's right. Yeah. In some cases, you suddenly have a five-minute monologue thrown in.
You have to, I think we talked about this before, Paul, about you have to be careful on those long monologues when somebody, when everyone's frozen, right, to listen to that monologue, that you're not caught in a compromising position.
That's right.
Except that's when it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Sometimes it's staged that way, so you're actually caught, and so people look at you going, wow, they're caught in something that's a little bizarre.
So in the true tradition of Seaglass Theater, another pee in your pants comedy, is that what this is?
Oh, I would say very much so. Very much so. No, it's so ridiculously funny, but it is, it should let people know, it is highly adult in themes and in topic, and you know, don't show up with anyone I would say under the age of 18.
Sure.
Conservatively. Yeah,
that's really that's fair.
It's some racy material. Yeah. Dale's got a whole nude water ballet that he does.
And it is lovely.
It is lovely. Tasteful. Tasteful, I would say.
You know, the better moments in the show.
Things can be exotic and tasteful. A lot of people don't realize that.
Dangerous, too.
What's that?
Dangerous. Yeah.
All the while he's kvetching while doing that.
Right.
So you can only imagine.
Well.
I don't like to be wet.
We just
he says that today.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was one of Kim's lines.
Oh,
sorry. You know, we were actually talking about Dale.
We've all been talking
doing a little trick today and seeing if he would just respond entirely during the course of the entire interview with just his lines from the show, whether or not they're suited. So throw us a couple of those later on, Dale. I'll ask you a question later on.
I'll be glad.
Hit us with a non sequitur. So it is 15 minutes past the hour. So if you do want to call in and let us rate your kvetch, please do. The phone number again, I'm trying to find it here. Where is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. I'm looking for it on the paper, and it's on my screen here.
Yeah.
Like 4 inches high.
Yes.
And I just try to, like, I can figure don't ask me to figure out these electronics, Michael. Why do I always have to do it?
Because you're the cool guy. You know about this stuff. You're very techno-friendly. I am not.
Techno-friendly?
Yeah.
Don't lose me in the jargon.
Yeah.
So,
so Ian, let's get back to you
here a
bit. Let's talk about your... first of all, I find it totally cool that you're from New Orleans. That's one of my favorite places.
Is it?
Yeah. What happened to the accent, though?
Oh, you know, even though I grew up there, I actually spent a year in London. And between that and, you know, speech classes you take when you're studying acting, it kind of all went away.
Does anything ever... happen with you, get into an argument with somebody, or you get into
well when I go
conversation
home
with your family.
Well, my family's still down there. My mom still lives in Mississippi, and I have family in New Orleans. So when I go back, it easily slips in. I have no problem going to the southern dialect.
Yeah.
But it's not part of everything I say now. It's strange.
Yeah. Well, I always thought it was very respectful that the way that people spoke from New Orleans. They were respectful of men and women and
yes sir and yes ma'am
and really, and even in today, I mean, you know, young people there, you wouldn't expect them to follow suit, but they do.
I love that city. I was there for the first time, actually, for Bonnie and Ian's wedding.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I was
awesome.
There for the first time, and I'd never been to New Orleans before.
Cool.
I was there about 20 minutes, and I was like, I could live here in a nanosecond.
Unless you're there in August.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
you're like, well, right. Maybe I can't live
here. Yeah, no, no. Yeah. Well, it's sort of like Chicago in the winter.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
What is the famous bar there that serves the Hurricanes?
Pat O'Brien's.
Yes, Pat O'Brien's.
Yeah.
A client of mine, who I guess will have to remain nameless. he's been a guest on our radio show, though, however, in the past. We were touring. He was opening there, and we were staying at this beautiful hotel in the French Quarter, and upon his arrival, he went right from the room to that bar.
Yeah.
And
bad news.
Was there for 9 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And every cast member, of course, you know, this bar had been talked up big before we got there. Every cast member passed through there, saw, you know, had a drink, saw him there.
Right.
9 hours later, came back to the hotel, and he had 6 interviews in the morning that started at 7 a.m. to do.
I have never lasted 9 hours there. That's amazing.
Yeah.
The Hurricanes usually takes about 1.5.
I don't think I've ever lasted 9 hours in any bar I've ever been to in my life. That's even when I was working in them, I think I made 9 hours.
That's extraordinary.
That is.
Yeah.
Well, I loved the place that we went to that has the carousel bar, the Hotel Monteleone,
I think is
the name of it.
I think
it was,
yeah.
Do you know about that one?
I do.
Do you? Have you been to New Orleans?
A very nice transvestite there once.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well?
Yeah. Carol.
Did you?
Carol.
Oh, Carol.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
I know Carol. Oh, Carol from New Orleans.
Yeah.
Sure.
From New York. Really, Roger from Tampa.
Yeah.
Roger from Raleigh.
Husky. Husky girl.
Husky girl.
Yeah.
I don't know where that
came. You spent 9 hours at Pat O'Brien's, too, didn't you?
Yes.
It was the Hotel Monteleone, and it has a carousel bar in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the bar rotates. Actually, the bar stays the same, but the bar seats rotate because it's like an old carousel.
Right.
And it's just, it's unnerving to come back from the bathroom and the people you're at the bar with are not in the same place they were when you left. It's unsettling. And it's supposedly where Truman Capote was born, that hotel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In the hotel?
He says it, you know, he sort of romanticizes it with his family that's where he was. But
well, it's a very interesting city, isn't it? I mean, there's a vibe there that's like nowhere else.
That's right. That's right.
It's just in the air. And when you start touring some of those places, too, like where Truman Capote and also, what's the other great writer that wrote?
Oh, Tennessee Williams.
Yes, Tennessee
lived
Williams.
Down there
for many
years.
Actually go to the place where he wrote was, it's spooky.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, I think I just hung up on somebody.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Please call back.
I went to answer a kvetch and a call-in, and I think I accidentally hung up on them. So
well, now
call
she
back
has a whole new one.
Yes, do it. Phone number again, 323-203-0815. Michael, while we're waiting on the call, would you please give us the detail? Do you have the details on our dates and times for kvetch?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. Yeah? Yes, it opens, ladies and gentlemen, this Saturday, September 17th, and it runs through October 16th at the Whitefire Theater in beautiful Sherman Oaks. And it is preceded by one preview on September 16th, but you really want to wait for the opening of this spectacular show, and it is Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m.
And I am going to take a call, if it's okay with you.
All right.
I'm going to take a call right now. This is coming in, and let's see who is on the line with us getting ready to kvetch. Hello, this is State of the Arts on LA Talk Radio. Who are we talking to?
Yes, this is Marcy.
Hi, Marcy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. Do you have a kvetch to share with us?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Go right ahead.
Well, my kvetch is the Apple phone, the iPhone.
Okay.
Because there's all these, like, things on it. There's too many things, and I never figure out which one to use.
Okay.
The apps.
Do you know how to answer the phone?
So.
Marcy, do you know how to answer the phone? Do you know how to answer the phone, Marcy? At least answer the phone? Well,
yeah, I can answer and dial out.
Oh, well.
But when it comes to, like, all those apps that they want you to download and stuff
like that.
I don't know how to do it. And it just, I have this real, you know, fear, and I don't like it. And I don't like the iPhone.
So what could
we have a cell phone themed kvetch thing? Because we have this second person who's annoyed with cell phones,
yeah.
And then we have the first person who got a $300 ticket cell phones. So, we got another one. Should we take this one in?
Well, yeah.
Thank you, Marcy. We're gonna stay listening to the show, and at the end we'll vote and we'll let you know where we're at. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Hello, this is State of the Arts. Who are we talking to?
Hi, this is Mike in San Francisco.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
I'm okay. But let me just tell you right now, I'm real ticked off about these meter maids that are constantly on the prowl. I mean, in the old days, you fed the meter. If you didn't, you got a ticket. And at 6 o'clock, they went home. But now, 24 hours a day, they're circling around like sharks, ready to tow, ticket, do whatever. They're just paid assassins for the darn government. Taxation without representation. And I've had it. This might even force me just to get a bicycle despite these sons of guns.
They have blood coming down the sides of their mouth.
Mike, I got a quick question for you. You don't work for the post office, do you?
No, but a postal truck is just going by and it's locked and loaded. Hold on.
Okay. Mike, thank you for your kvetch. We're definitely putting you in the running. And feel free to call back with another one, because I think you probably have more issues than a magazine rack.
Listen, I've got more issues than Time Magazine.
Please do. Call back. We'll be waiting for you. Okay?
I'll talk to you. I'll come on. Thanks so much.
Thanks for calling, Mike. Okay. Okay. So
right out of the gate, too.
I tell you,
wackos,
unsettling,
right?
Unsettling.
Now, how do we resolve the what would we say to the Apple people about?
Well, you know, there's an app for everything.
Yeah,
no, you know,
that's
I mean,
right.
you go to the app page and you download an app and it'll tell you what to do, and
yeah,
you still won't understand it.
It's not especially involved.
No, but
she had a fear.
Just kind of press a button.
Thing,
and
yeah.
You always wonder that about people. You know, you always wonder they come to you with things like that. This really bothers me. It's like, then how do you feed yourself if you have this much trouble with
you think she was actually on her cell phone making the call?
I don't
to
think
us
so, because she was sort of on top of what she was doing. So, I mean, but she seemed fairly proficient just in talking to us on the phone.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So,
well,
she sounded like that girl from Guys and Dolls, you know?
Adelaide.
What was that term you used? A bulb short of a...
Oh, no. Half a bubble off plum. Yeah. Yeah. So while we're waiting for other ones, Michael, do you want to go ahead and, or should we do our arts calendar and pay the bills with that? Or should we... We don't have an arts calendar. You have some reviews for us today, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. You start your reviews and... Oh, wait. You know what? Actually, let me take one more call while we're here, okay?
Absolutely.
Let's see. You are on with State of the Arts. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, this is Gary.
Hey, Gary. How are you? Thanks for listening.
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I just so many pet peeves, you know?
Oh, okay. So do you have any kvetches to share with us?
Dittos, first off. Dittos, it's great. Great to hear you.
thank you.
Yeah, I got one. Parking control officers.
Parking control officers?
Yeah, man.
Wait, are you talking?
The meter maids. They're trying to change the name. You know, they're trying to, like, they got some sort of authority or something. But we all know them as meter maids, man. The brown shirts. Yeah. They're doing their job out there. In Santa Monica, trying to mail a letter, I got a ticket.
So wait a minute. You're calling us from Santa Monica, and you're irritated with meter maids, and we just got a call from San Francisco with someone else who is irritated with meter maids.
Well,
it's worldwide. What is it? Yeah, worldwide. It's an epidemic.
It's a worldwide crisis.
It could be contagious. Contagion.
It's an epidemic. You know what? I think we should have a beginning acting class for meter maids and have them like a 3-hour showcase. That's my pet peeve. And probably do some Sam Shepard or maybe do a scene from Friends or something like that.
Which is basically the same thing.
And then my head would explode, right?
Sam Peckinpah should direct it, you know.
You know, it's just rant and rave. I've had a lot of coffee, and my chakras are in a tailspin. But I'll tell you, I listen religiously to you guys Wednesday morning. Is Sean Hannity? Who am I talking to?
Yes. Oh, so you're saying that you listen to the podcast while bathing.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I'm glad.
I loofah, and I hear about the state of the arts in Los Angeles and that heck of a show on Sunday night down there at that Italian joint, down there across the street from the yoga studio.
Oh, Vitello's, yes. Oh, wait, we have another one. I'm so sorry I have to cut you off, but actually I'm not. We'll talk to you later. Okay, you're on with State of the Arts. Who are we talking to?
This is Roger in Thousand Oaks, and I am thoroughly fed up,
Roger.
Thoroughly fed up with urologists who don't file their nails. I mean, you would think they were working on the deadliest catch when you got to go in for your yearly examination, and I come away a little more scarred than when I went in. And then they've got the nerve to send me a bill. I mean, there's probably 15,000 of these nail salons. They could just pop in and get a buff every once in a while.
Roger, let me ask you, is it Roger, did you say? Roger?
Yes.
Roger, can I ask you, how often do you have to go to the urologist that this is an annoyance?
Well, since my wife has left me, I seem to be going there quite more often than I did earlier in my career.
I see.
I'd say about once a week if you were going to get an average.
Okay. All right. We're gonna mark this down as kvetch urologists that don't file their nails. Okay?
That's right. We're gonna
file that for you, and I do think you're in the running.
I mean, are they moonlighting the stevedores or something? For God's sakes, try some hand lotion.
Oh,
we're getting into a whole nother
things are boring there in Thousand Oaks. Yeah. I gotta tell you.
I've got to go. I think the gardener's taking something from the late yard.
Thank you, Roger. Roger from Thousand Oaks, who desperately needs a hobby. Okay. Yes, all right, Michael. I don't know how many more we're going to get.
I don't even know how I can follow that.
Why don't you start your reviews, and if we get a chime in, I may disrupt you.
All right. Well, I had the pleasure, Paul, of seeing Jolson at the Winter Garden at the El Portal.
Oh yes,
Theater
with Mike Burstyn, who is our guest. Yes.
Mike Burstyn, who has brought this to life, which is a biographical show that is all done from the garden, the Winter Garden stage in New York, and with a fantastic live orchestra behind him and three backup singers who double as characters throughout his tales. And he talks about, you know, I certainly knew who Al Jolson was, but I really did not know about him.
okay.
other than his music. And perhaps that might be something that... How about you guys? Did you even know about
just his
background?
Just from the movies that were done about him.
But, I mean, you know, every single song, and there's some 20 songs in the production that he sings, and he's actually in concert as that character, and then interspersed with a lot of personal patter, and then patter that is about his life.
Because this was something he did on, like, Sunday nights. It was like a constant, right? The Winter Garden Theater?
Yes. And that's where the idea came from.
Right.
It's recreated that, you know, that kind of an evening. And it, from, my God, here's some of the songs. Just Rockabye Your Baby, Four Leaf Clover, mm-hmm. Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy, California Here I Come, Blue Skies, Swanee, Tootsie, Sunny Boy, Sitting on Top of the World, April Showers. I mean, you name it, it was in this show. And he made this man, Al Jolson, made all of those famous. And Mike Burstyn is just captivating. In Israel, he is a superstar there. And his family, a subject of a major documentary, he told
us. That's right,
he was on the show, that received the equivalent to an Oscar in that country for that particular piece of film. And he had the audience in the palm of his hand, and I must say I was one of them. And there's a sing-along right in the middle of the show.
Really?
Yeah, and it's perfect. It comes right at the right time. Everybody knows the words. It's one of those songs that we'd all known since we were kids. And everybody really sang out and had a blast at this thing. So it was a very, very entertaining evening, and he is a true force. Mike Burstyn is the showman that Al Jolson was as well.
And it's at the El Portal, right?
Yes, at the El Portal Theater. And ladies and gentlemen, to find out more about it, because it's just been extended, it's there for the next couple of weeks, just simply go to the elportal.com website. And again, that's El Portal Theater. I'm sorry, El Portal Theater. That's R-E at the end of the word theater.com.
I like the big room at the El Portal because you get both. You get it has like the feeling of a big room, but because of the rake and everything, there's still an intimacy to
it.
How many
seats?
It's like 300.
It's $299.
It's $299, but it seems a lot bigger walking into it. But there's a real intimacy.
Well, they've
there.
Got a black box on the side.
Yeah, they have a small little one to the side.
The second, yeah.
Yeah, studio.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah. We actually did our first Sea Glass production there, which was a co-production with DIY Project, How Sissy Grew.
That's
which
right.
Actually, Ian was in. Ian understudied Jamie Denton and went on a couple of times for Jamie in that. It was a great production. It was actually won an LA Weekly Award for Best Play of 2008.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's
a nice space over
Susan
there.
Susan Johnson, great book.
And earlier in the week, last week, I went to see something that is done annually once a month at the Gardenia restaurant in Hollywood, and the event is called Kritzerland at the Gardenia. It was their 1-year anniversary. Kritzerland is a record label that produces Broadway shows and or the music of Broadway that gets kind of lost, you know, in the shuffle.
The lesser known stuff?
Yeah, so perhaps the show itself was not a major hit on Broadway, but yet quite worthy of an album, but the big record companies did not go there, and Kritzerland kind of evolved out of another label called Varese Saraband, which was a subsidiary of Universal Studios. So Bruce Kimmel, who is the who is Kritzerland, if putting it in another way, is the man responsible for those wonderful albums and bringing them to life. And in this particular evening, it was the music of Frank Lesser. And of course, if you know Frank Lesser's music, he composed How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, which is enjoying a huge production.
Revival.
Yes,
yeah.
Revival.
First musical I ever did. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Guys and Dolls.
Yeah.
Guys and Dolls, The Most Happy Fella. And some amazing hits, classic songs, Heart and Soul, I Wish I Didn't Love You So, Baby It's Cold Outside. And a cast of stellar stars from The Great White Way, including Melody Hollis, 13 years old. And I must say, out of the 5-6 guests, guest stars who were performing that night, Melody stole the show.
Really?
Yes, she was phenomenal. I've seen this young lady before. She appeared on Broadway in White Christmas, Irving Berlin's White Christmas. Kim Huber, also from Broadway, Beauty and the Beast.
But she was so good that you wanted to change the title to Beauty and the Bell.
That's right, forgive me. Kelsey Scott, Alette Taylor, and Laura Wolfe. Ruth Williamson also was the other special guest star, and the amazing musical direction by John Boswell. Once a month, folks, at the Gardenia restaurant in Hollywood, simply call them 323-467-7444 for further information.
Yeah, it is.
All right, very good. Shall we move on to our next guest?
Yes, at some point I want to just tell our folks about another chance to win some tickets. We can do that in a minute. Do we have another call coming through?
No. Yes, we do, actually. Let me take it right now. Thank you. You're on with State of the Arts. Do you have a kvetch to share with us? Hello, are you there?
Frightened.
We just got a call from a 310, but apparently we've lost them. Are you on the air with us? Okay, I guess not.
We're thinking not. Huh?
You know the problem, and that noise you hear in the background is actually a urologist filing his nails. So that little fupa sound. Call back if you could. We just missed that call, but let me give Dale, or actually Michael, you introduce Dale if you would. I introduced Ian. Why don't you you can give him a better intro than me.
I will indeed. He is a resident of San Diego, California. He has performed with the notable San Diego Repertory Theater Company in such shows as In the Next Room and the Vibrator Play, which Dale, we will be talking about if you'll. Pardon my expression. We will certainly bring that up. So we'll be touching upon it soon. He has been seen on the outdoor stage of San Diego's historic Starlight Bowl, which is the theater that I saw my very first show at when I was like 5 years old.
It's a wonderful place.
Amazing place.
Really?
Yeah. And the show opens for Dale himself as an actor. He is in a show, ironically, called Kvetch, and it opens this week at the White Fire Theater in Sherman Oaks. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Dale Morris. Hey, how are you?
I don't know, but that sounds like home.
Yeah, that's what I figured. It was a tribute. Tribute.
Dale, I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
Dale is from the South originally, so I thought I would try to give him something.
Two Southern boys in the studio today.
Yes. Yeah.
You having a good time over there? It sounds like a blast.
It's one of the most amazing experiences I've ever been through. I've never done anything like this before. Ian, why this play? What?
Because it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mainly. It's a real challenge to direct because getting actors to understand it is one thing, but the enjoyment I have watching you guys work is a blast.
And you've wanted to direct it for a while. You said you were familiar with it from a long time
ago. I am. I don't remember it specifically. I mean, I don't remember too much about the play, but I actually saw it in London 20 years ago when Berkoff was in it. So, and it was, I just remember.
He was Frank, guys.
He was Frank. Yeah. He was Frank. And I remember the experience I had. I don't remember so much of, like, what the show was. I just remember, like, it was a fun ride. And, It's always stayed with me for that reason.
Well, the fellow that's playing... I'm sorry. Paul.
No, I was just going to say, would you term it... I mean, you would term it a ride as well? I mean, just...
It's more than a ride for me. It's a pleasure. It's a painful pleasure. You know, I really mean that because it's fun. It's outrageous fun when you get it right. Yeah. It's just so hard to get it right because if I can make this clear, you're talking to your scene partner, for instance, and suddenly you break away from your scene partner in order to say what you're really thinking.
Right.
So like Interlude by O'Neill. What was that called?
Strange Interlude.
Yeah. I think that was the first experience with that, but I found it almost unreadable. I don't know what it was like performance-wise, but this is, you know, you're talking to your scene partner, suddenly you break away, you turn out to the audience, and you start saying what's on your mind, mm-hmm. and it is brilliant. Then you have to, and your partner, meanwhile, is stuck in this nether
frozen
world.
Frozen tableau. Right.
And then you come back, boom, and you go again.
It's funny that you say that about the difficulty in reading it, because when we were... reviewing plays for Seaglass, and we ended up choosing this one. One of the things that Ian pointed out to everyone when he gave us the script or shared the script with us is, like, incredibly difficult read because it's not meant to be read. It's meant to be seen. It's meant to be performed. And when on all the things, all these kvetches in the script are written in italics, so you know when you're delivering your kvetch and what we call the real social world in the play versus the kvetch world in the play. But on the page, it's a very difficult thing to decipher.
And it's funny on the page, but it is pee in your pants hilarious watching it. Frank, the fellow who plays Frank, Matt Kirkwood,
yes.
He is extraordinary in this role, and I think that's what Burkoff played, right?
Yes.
What he goes through for 90 minutes, no actor should have to do, except that he's going to be a huge star out of it because it's just funny.
And not only that, but he loses 5 pounds every night.
That's right.
He just sweats 5 pounds right off. So that's it's nice to share the stage with someone who's sweating that much.
It's a pleasure to answer your question. It's a pleasure to be in the play. I'm very happy to be in it.
Well, it sounds so exciting and different and fun. And I think the fact that it's kind of an adult
theme.
Yeah. I think that makes it even more interesting.
Right? Well, it's adult. We should stress.
Not in a crude way.
These are anxieties that middle-aged people have. Exactly. You know, and they're just, and sometimes they're financial anxieties, and sometimes they're sexual anxieties, and it doesn't. But when they are any of those things, because we're talking about your id, we're talking about your, you know, all these things that you don't normally reveal, they get very personal very quickly.
And this is all family members. The characters are all family members?
There are friends and business associates, so it's not all family members.
Mm. But it's your character has a wife?
Well, no. I steal Frank's wife. Frank works, sells me stuff. Mm. And I meet his wife at a party, and such and such
things
happens.
Occur.
You don't.
Yes. Well, but I've got some problems too.
Yes. He has almost as many problems as Roger from Thousand Oaks.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Not quite. Wow. But
I only go twice a month.
But what's unusual about it is Dale is actually a urologist.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So that's why he was cast.
What are the chances of that? What are the chances of that?
That's the most off-putting part of it.
Oh, my God. I'm going to tell, if I may, just interrupt you for one moment. I do want to take care of the Pasadena Playhouse here. We're good friends of this program.
Oh, yes.
They have a wonderful show that is opening at the Cary Hamilton Theater, which is at the Playhouse, and it is called The Unauthorized Afterlife of Eugene O'Neill, and it's starring and was written by James Cady, and he will perform in this guest production at the Cary Hamilton Theater at the Pasadena Playhouse. And it opens September 15th, and it runs through the 25th. And the official press opening, ladies and gentlemen, is on the 16th of September, and you have an opportunity to also win some tickets to go and see The Unauthorized Afterlife of Eugene O'Neill. And that we're going to do a little bit differently today. You simply have to go to our website, right, Paul?
Yes.
And that is stateoftheartsla.com.
Yes. Actually, to send the email, stateoftheartsla@gmail. Yes. That is our website, correct. But to send us an email, send it to stateoftheartsla@gmail.com.
Right. And if you are in this case, 16th email that comes into the website requesting a pair of tickets for the opening on September 16th of this particular play, leave us your information. We'll get back to you, and we're happy to put that together for you.
And you know what? While we're talking about correspondence that way, I don't think there's any question that Roger from Thousand Oaks is the winner. With his kvetch about urologists who don't file their nails. So, Roger from Thousand Oaks, please email us your contact information at stateoftheartsla@gmail.com. That's stateoftheartsla@gmail.com. And we will... And give us your phone number so we can call you back and verify that it is you. We will provide you with tickets for Saturday night's opening.
And the name of your urologist.
Yes. Now, we only have about 5 more minutes to go. Oh, I'm sorry, Michael.
We have a couple minutes before we get to that 5-minute mark. I just wanted to ask Dale a couple of other questions because I was fascinated reading your bio, Dale, that you're also a playwright, right?
I've written 18 plays, 3 of which are somewhat readable.
Well, and what, one? And which is perhaps why one of them was named Outstanding New Play in 2007.
Yeah,
right?
It was called 100 Birds. It was about some experiences in
Who
my
named
own
it?
Life.
Who named it that?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay.
I did.
Usually that responsibility falls to the playwright.
No. I mean Outstanding New Play.
Oh, Pat Lawner, who does the Pathé Awards in San Diego.
Well, the liver pate?
Yeah, I was just going
yeah, the Pate Awards. She's quite the big deal in the San Diego area for her awards.
Is it really? Is it pate like?
What? Yeah. Her slogan is "You ain't chopped liver."
You ain't chopped liver.
Oh, very cute. I love her even more. I like her. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So you've written three plays, and this one got singled out as outstanding new play.
That's I've had three produced in San Diego, but I've written 18 total. And at the moment, I'm writing a one-man show about W.C. Fields that I'm looking forward to. And
for yourself, are you writing it?
Yes.
I would suspect you are.
Yes, it's for something that I want to tour with as I head into those retirement years that are right here at my door. And but I don't plan to retire at all. I look forward to performing that show. The W.C. Fields, it's been wonderful working with that family. And so I'm looking
forward to Dale's head correspondence with the Fields estate.
Wow.
And,
awesome.
Yeah, I had to talk to them, and they've been just wonderful about it. So touring.
Exciting, with,
yeah,
that?
It is exciting. I'm writing it now, and I can't wait. Being up here doing Kvetch has just been a wonderful opportunity to meet some wonderful people. The people I'm in the show with are just so incredible.
Well, it's a great company, Seaglass. They really made their mark since they've been here.
That's what everybody says. Yeah.
We're having a lot of fun.
You can always depend, if you know it's a Seaglass production, you can always depend on a great production.
Really. And
that's unbiased, really.
Thank you.
And the people you've got on your board are quite amazing too, obviously.
Yeah, they're very, very supportive, and we're very blessed. We have our own little path, but we look back and there are people that are following us, so we're very grateful for them.
Terrific. Now I think it's time for us to do this little induction for Dale and ask to go.
Yes, Ian's been on
one more time.
Yeah, well, Ian's been on before, so I don't know what he'll have at the ready. But Dale, your worst on-stage disaster, nightmare, hopefully funny incident that took place while you were performing. Anything come to mind?
You betcha. It just happened. It was in our town at Signet Theater that just closed at the end of last month. I started on Kvetch right after it. I always tell my wife never, ever. I hope she's listening. I know if she is, call in.
Kvetch about your husband.
I always, always, always tell her never, ever sit where I can see her unless I know exactly where she's sitting, because in our town, I have to come out as Mr. Webb and I have to talk to the audience. And so I come out every night. I love this monologue that I do. It's just wonderful. And I come out, I'm talking, I'm doing my monologue, I say something, I turn over, and there's my wife. I'm looking right at her. I go, there's my wife. Yes, there's my wife. What do I say next? I don't know what I say next. So what is my next line? I don't know. So I just started going, and I look at my wife, and she's looking down now. She doesn't dare want to even look at me because she knows I'm up, and I am so up. I don't even know what state I'm in. I don't know if I'm going to play.
We might have her. Hang on. We might have her on the line. I'm just answering the phone right now. You're on with State of the Art. So is this Jamie?
No.
No,
it is too. No, that's Carol. From New Orleans.
That's Carol. I'm so sorry, Dale. I interrupted your story with one more kvetch. I'm sorry. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you have a kvetch to share?
I have a huge kvetch.
What is that?
It's a huge, huge kvetch. One of my employees in the middle of tax deadline season is asking me to call in with my biggest kvetch. That is my biggest kvetch.
Okay.
I'm busy. I don't have time to be calling radio stations.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm going to go out on a limb.
Entertaining people.
I'm going to go out on a limb and guess the initials of that person who's asking you to do
you
that.
Are, did someone shoot her? Like, shot, dot, dot, dot. I'm not calling from Dallas, you know what I mean?
She's always promoting us. She's always promoting us. And thank you, JR. That's all I'm saying. Thank you, JR. Thank you so much. All right, we're going to give him tickets anyway. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you. I thought for sure it was Jamie who was calling.
Oh, exactly. Well, it was, I went major up and I expected that everyone in the theater knew it. And what was amazing was they just thought it was part of the character.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. You just were pensive and pondering.
Pondering and saying really weird stuff until the stage manager helped me get back on track. And it was, it's no fun going up.
No, and it is unnerving, too, when you don't know you have someone in the audience and all of a sudden you see them and it really can take you out of it.
Yeah. And how did the stage manager help you get back?
She said something like, and what about so-and-so?
But was this coming from the wings?
The stage manager, if you know the show, she's there
I'm sorry, I thought you meant the...
The stage manager, who is the actress on stage.
I thought you meant actual stage manager.
No. The stage manager helped me out, and I was able to get back on track. But it was incredibly... funny later.
Yes, of course. It's always funny after the fact. It's always funny.
Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. And Ian.
Yes.
You have a little something for us? We only have about a minute left.
I'll talk about the last show we did for Seaglass, which was of Grapes and Nuts, and there was a time when it was me and Ma Joe was on stage, and the lights went completely out. And we started improvising about how times were so tough that even God lost this, couldn't pay his bill to keep the sun going.
That's right.
And finally, the stage manager realized the lights were off, so then he flicked them back on, and then literally he flicked them back off. He didn't know what he was doing, so then we came back on, and we just hugged each other for a little while. We're like, okay, let's move on.
Yeah. It was one of those mistakes is that on Lake Dales, there was no way anyone in the audience didn't know that it was a massive screw-up.
Yes.
But it was funny, you know. Just for the
As
sake
it
of
would
that.
Be, yeah. Well, gentlemen, thank
gentlemen,
you.
Gentlemen, thank
so
you both.
Much
thank you
for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
And sharing.
And a lot of fun.
And for anyone who's interested, seaglasstheater.org. That's seaglasstheaters with an RE.org. And come see us this Saturday in Kvetch.
And we should give them the website.
Yes.
Yeah.
You mean seaglasstheater.org?
Yes.
No, the other one, Paul. The other one.
Yes. Yeah.
Seaglasstheater.org.
No, so who named your play, Dale?
Sorry.
Aaron Spelling.
It's not in here.
Okay. We will talk to you. Michael, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Paul.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye. I have to get the phone thing off here so I can play our outro music, which is what I am doing now.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.